Hello, and thanks for downloading another episode of the Lions Roar podcast. My name is David Kendra, and I'll be your host for today. And this week, we shall have highlights from a trip to Aldershot, plus the visit of Tranmere Rovers to Nethermoor, plus news from the Vixens and the Academy, plus interviews from Adam Lockwood and Alex Perver following this week's game. We'll start with highlights from Aldershot. Don't worry, we'll keep it brief.
And Aldershot now able to bring the ball over the halfway line through Matt McClure. McClure up against Marcus Williams, cuts inside, gets it away from Law, goes for goal! And it's a wonderful strike by Matt McClure. A terrific left-footed finish. Johnny Maxted couldn't get near it. And on the balance of play, you'd probably say that this is certainly deserved.
Everyone's saying that Aldershot are going to get in them playoff places once again. They're, you know, going to fight for automatic promotion. On this performance, they certainly will, because they're carving guys they open it with ease at times. And
Hatfield does well, feeds the ball to Kevin Hurst, who's in a good position to cross this ball from the left-hand side into the box, headed by Mulhern, and Geisler have scored, but the offside flag is up.
And you know what, I think the reaction of Frank Mulhern is he knew it were offside as well. He did not celebrate.
I didn't.
I did. I was up off my seat.
It's going to be Taylor to deliver the cross. Danny Heath went down. The ball still bouncing around inside the 18-yard box. Comes to Fennell on the right-hand side of it. Chip back in. Look towards Rowe. Rowe lays it back for Oyelake. Oyelake will move it back out to Fennell again. Currently camped inside their own half. The cross comes in. And into the back of the net. The ball goes. And Aldershot are 2-0 up.
It's so infuriating, this. It really is, because
Chris Arthur now with a decent ball into the box, which has gone between Marcus Williams' legs. He's got very lucky, but it's only come to Kellerman, and Kellerman has put it into the back of the net. Maxted couldn't see it because he was being blocked by Danny Lowe, but Marcus Williams has just got his legs in knots. Not tight enough as the ball rolls between them. It's picked up by Kellerman, who right-footed puts it beyond the Geisler keeper. And it's Aldershot 3, Geisler 0.
Yeah, it's not good enough, is
now,
it?
I Hatfield, think it's absolutely not good enough. We're going to struggle to think of other ways of saying this at half-time when we get there. Your possession given away by Geisler. Bobby Joe Taylor just rides the challenge of Daniel Lowe beautifully. He's into the 18-yard box. The ball is pulled across. A couple of double saves, and it's gone in. Shamir Fenlon. Two terrific saves from Johnny Maxted from point blank range, as Shamir Fenlon was following up and slams the ball into the empty net. It's Aldershot 4, Geisler 0. Why did we even bother? Half time here at the Ebb Stadium. Aldershot Town 4, Geisler 0. Tom Feeney, discuss.
It's just horrible. It's been absolutely horrible. A car crash.
Kellerman couldn't quite keep up. Danny East tries to go for a back heel, and it's come off badly here as the goal goes in, and it's James Rowe. And it was Danny East, I think, who is perhaps most at fault for that one. He just tried to stick a leg out to it, and they got nowhere near it. And it's gone in. An Aldershot, inside the opening 8 minutes of this game, have added a fifth to their fourth from the first half. Free kick has been taken. Ball back with Reynolds. Reynolds then looks to send the diagonal ball down to Chris Arthur in acres of space on his left-hand side. He delivers the cross. Maxted can't get there, and it's been nodded in. It is six for Aldershot. And Jake Cole is taking his time, setting the ball down to clear this downfield and to end this game.
There we go, full
and
time.
There we go. The referee, Mr. Samuel Allison, blows the full time whistle. And frankly, where do you start for the Lions in this game? Four goals down by half-time. We hope for a better performance in the second. It marginally improved as they only conceded another two. So full-time here from the Ebb Stadium is Geisley losing by 6-0 away at Aldershot Town.
Very disappointing. And, you know, I'd like to... The fans at Travel say sorry to them and you know, we have to turn things around and go for the next match that we have. It's a big game, as we all know. Some very big games coming up, and we have to do what we believe in, prepare right, do the things right that we've done, and like I say, you have to break down the negatives out of today and make sure they don't happen again.
Adam Lockwood there talking to Tom after the 6-0 defeat at the hands of Aldershot. There was an immediate opportunity to gain some form of redemption, however, as Tranmere came to visit Nethermore on Tuesday night. Commentary here from Nick Keefe and Colin Robertson.
Really need to see a reaction, don't we? I know we're staunchly anti-hope and anti-optimism here, Colin, but as I was walking into the ground, I thought it might not be a positive result tonight, but for goodness sake, it can't be worse than 6-0, surely.
Now Adejaye, he's clattered into by McNulty. Guys, he get a free kick on the halfway line, taken quickly. Thompson through on goal, he's got to the edge of the area. He gets closed down by the goalkeeper, Scott Davies. But a very good move there from the Lions. A quickly taken free kick. Thompson put through on goal. Got the better of the back line, but goalkeeper Davies off his line sharply and saves with his feet. And Tranmere take the free kick quickly inside the Lions half with bodies committed forward. It's now here with Jeff Hughes at his left-hand side. The cross into the box. It's a wicked ball and somehow turned behind from inside the six-yard box by Andy Cook. He really should have scored, but somehow skewed the ball wide of the upright at an improbable angle. And guys, he really have got away with one there, and it's behind for a goal kick.
Yeah, he's really reversed that ball back almost the way it came. And when it's coming in that quickly and you're diving in, then the slightest mistake creates a worse-looking shot. But don't really want to make excuses. He should have buried that.
Yeah. Buxton now with the ball, plays it up towards the edge of the 18-yard box. There's a chance here for Tranmere, but again, a superb challenge comes in. Jack Dunn seemed to go clear after Joe Green had run out of his goal to the wrong way. And in the end, fortunately, Rob Atkinson was on hand to swiftly intercept the ball. So it is indeed a finely balanced match, as Tom says, at the moment. 0-0 at the break. Geisey showing good resolve, good spirit in that first 45 against a well-drilled, well-organised Tranmere Rovers side. A Tranmere Rovers side that have, of course, come ever so close to regaining their Football League status last season. Now the cross into the box, and it finds Cook, and a first-time volley from Andy Cook. Really well connected from the Tranmere front man, but a good save and well held, good positioning again from Green. Meanwhile, Jake Lawler's shirt's been tucked quite clearly, but the ball's still up in the air, and there's a chance here for Geisey, and Reece Thompson gets in there. Little header, no power on it, though, and it's comfortable for the goalkeeper, but it just looked for a moment as if the ball might just bobble through to the Geisey front man. Didn't quite fall kindly enough for him, and in the end, it's punted clear. Now in field here to Harris. Harris up against Thompson. Does well. Plays the ball into Reithausch now on this left-hand flank, who's got a bit of space to cross into the box. There's a chance here for Tranmere. The shot is blocked, though, and cleared. Eventually, with John Roone helping it out to Reece Thompson. Thompson now into Adejaye. He's surrounded by McNulty. McNulty wins the challenge, allegedly. Says he's got the ball. The referee, Adejaye, doesn't agree. Tranmere move it down this right-hand side and work a good shot from distance from that flank that just spins past the left upright. Joe Green looked like he knew where it was going, but just a little flash of warning there for the Lions. Alabi now looking for the ball to Reithausch, plays the ball into the box, and it's a spin on the ball by Jennings, up against Atkinson. Jennings forced away from goal, blocked by Connor Brown. It's behind for a corner to Tranmere Rovers. You can hear the away fans there urging their side on now. The cross will come in from this right-hand side up towards the back post. It's headed and just somehow scrambled away.
In this second half, only that spell in the first.
Oh, now there's a counter-attack. The ball just goes over the top. Chance here for Tranmere, and it's dragged wide. Dragged wide by Jack Dunne. He pulled off at the right-hand side. Raced through to the edge of the area. It was a ball over the top that caught Geise flat. And in the end, Jack Dunne had time to get a shot away. And he couldn't apply a clinical finish. He's pulled it wide of the left upright, and it's behind for a Geise goal kick. And
Now, what's gone on there?
How bizarre.
Is that actually Ollie Norburn contesting what was supposed to be an uncontested drop ball? Like he's seen this once before.
So there's a drop ball frustration then. I think it's going to be a contested drop ball in the end.
He's in there contesting it again. What's happening?
The visitors on the attack again on this right-hand side, running towards the edge of the penalty area. Takes deflection as it's crossed into the box, and then it's cleared, and the Lions hold on to it with Reece Thompson in towards Odejaye. He's closed down quickly by McNulty, but there's a chance here for Perver. He plays it square, gets it across towards Will Hatfield, but there's a good challenge comes in there from McNulty, who had originally conceded the throw, and somehow it's actually a Tranmere throw-in as well.
Nearly.
It must have taken just a deflection off for Hatfield, but for a chance it looked like it was opening up there for Geisley. The ball bouncing around inside the penalty area, cleared, picked up now by Norburn. Norburn, some yards from goal, floats the ball into the area, out goes Green, collects the ball confidently on the edge of his six-yard box, goes to ground, and no doubt will use a few seconds up and looks to play the ball upfield and probably hit touch maybe. But the final whistle goes. And after Saturday's 6-0 drubbing, Tuesday night brings more joy. It wasn't 3 points, but it's a very credible point against a very strong Tranmere Rovers side, a side that only just missed out on promotion back to the Football League last season. A good battling performance from the Lions. Might have snuck at something at the very end had Perver been able to pick out Reece Thompson on the left-hand side on the counter-attack when he was 2-on-1. But as it was, the Lions held firm against a consistent Tranmere Rovers threat over the course of the 90 minutes and get a very well-deserved point here at Nethermoor. Geise 0, Tranmere Rovers 0.
That had a little bit more in it than most. In fact, that had a little bit of everything apart from goals that makes a good football game. There was good attacking play, there was good organised tactical play, there was last-ditch defending, there were well-taken crosses and shots by the goalkeepers, there was competitive challenges, there was a little bit of pantomime nonsense and little rivalries and feuds developing between players all over the pitch. And crucially for us at the end of it, Dave, a point on the board and a clean sheet after Saturday. And we can't really complain about that.
Following the match, Colin spoke to Adam Lockwood and Tom Feeney caught up with Alex Perver.
Tom Feeney with Alex Perver after Geisley draw 0-0 against Tranmere Rovers. Alex, just a really good performance after what happened on Saturday, the reaction Adam Lockwood had demanded you've given.
Yeah, that's what we just spoke about in the dressing room, just a reaction after, obviously, Saturday. And I think we've come out and everyone who have been here and watched the game tonight has seen that that's exactly what we put on show, a reaction. It was a real hard-working performance from everyone on the pitch who started, Pete, lads who came on, and it's a good point at home.
I was going to say, against a team like Tranmere, a team trying to gain promotion as well, really sets out the credentials, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they'd like to think that they're going to be up there at the end of the season and think they're favourites for the league and stuff like that. So we're under no illusions it was going to be a tough game. They've got some good players and, yeah, like I said, it was a tough game, but we're happy with our performance and happy to get the point at home.
And for yourself, you've been in another battle. You had one against Gates, said you've got one today. Another bit of blood coming out of the nose.
Yeah, I know. So I think every time I'm going to get a bash on it, it's going to start bleeding now. So yeah, I broke it last Tuesday against Gateshead. And then, yeah, I got another little elbow on it tonight, so I had to put this white thing in my nose to kind of stop it from bleeding. But no, I don't mind as long as we get a good performance, a good result. So yeah, it's all right.
And for yourself, you must be delighted with the way you played, because really was the case. You were here, there and everywhere throughout the game.
Yeah, no, that's what I like to bring to the team. I'm quite a fit lad. I like to bring my energy. I like to bring the ability to press people, to harry people. And then when I get on the ball, I like to think that I can keep the ball and make us play a little bit. So no, I was happy with how I played tonight.
And in terms of the next game against Torquay United, it kind of sets that marker, doesn't it, going into that match?
Yeah, absolutely. Another big game. So I know it's still early in the season, but it's a really big game for us. So I'm looking forward to it. Like I say, we want to win every game we can, and there's no different on Saturday, so I'm already looking forward to it now.
And just in terms of the team coming together now, you know, you've had a few games to get to all know each other. Obviously, people like Frankie Mulhern, you knew him already, but how good has it been, you know, just now being in that position where you're all learning about each other?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we brought quite a few new players in. It was lucky for me because obviously I was on loan here for the majority of last season, so I knew a lot of the lads, but you're still getting used to the lads, how different people play, different personalities and stuff like that. So it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time, it's going to take games, but I think we're starting to get that those few little relationships, those few little combinations, wherever it is, all over the pitch. And I think hopefully we can carry that on throughout the season.
Adam, obviously disappointment on Saturday, but a good solid way to bounce back tonight, a very credible point against one of the teams that certainly look like they're one of the favourites for promotion this season.
Yeah, no doubt that the quality they've got in their squad. But to be honest, one thing I will say, and after Saturday, and it's hard to say sometimes when you come off the back of a 6-0 and everybody asks questions of you and doubts. I don't doubt those players, and I think there's a great amount of quality in that dressing room. Not only as individuals, as players, but as people. And I think the performance tonight showed that in not just some of the play, but mainly the character and spirit and togetherness. And sometimes that, you know, 6-0 and you keep... I can say to a man how much disappointment there was on that bus on the way home. Not only the lads that were there, some of the lads that are injured and are at home, disappointment, I get, you know, and they feel it as well, which is exactly what I want as a group, that even the people that were directly not involved in the game felt it, and I know that for a fact because some of the things that's happened in between. And then a fair bit of pressure on us tonight to come and, you know, not only prove as footballers but as people, and that we're trying to do things right. And you know, I thought a good game of football. I said they've come to try and beat us on our patch, and we're trying to make it as difficult as possible for teams and put performances on that does that. And you know, I thought we had some good chances and some good play. As did they, but I thought we defended very well. And just like to mention Joe Green coming for his debut. It's, you know, he's a young lad, a great future ahead of him, and that's what I want, people pushing people to you know, to improve standards, improve performances. And you know, for a young guy to come in a game against what people say is be one of the favourites to win the league, I thought he were outstanding.
I was going to say, it was an interesting call to us that you'd made the change tonight. Obviously, his performance has pleased you. How much of the decisions, the changes tonight, did you feel were about giving opportunities to others, and how much were maybe forced on you?
I said to every player that's in this group, you know, picking my team were a tough decision tonight. There were members of the squad that were in my starting lineup 1 minute and then not even on the bench the next, and that's not just through the fault of their own, or it's where we're at as a group, and if people are carrying knocks, and we've got different permutations where we can move players around into different positions if somebody gets an injury or something happens. So it's not always down to that, and like I say, you can go from being in the team to out of the squad, or vice versa, out and that's, I've tried to say, it's hard to put that across to people that aren't in the squad at times, and but I see us as a group rather than just, you know, as a starting 11 and five on the bench, and so we'll see how it goes.
Early days yet, positives, unbeaten at home, 2 points on the board. 3 games now, no goals. Does that concern you?
Always, yeah, always. I thought we probed. I thought, you know, the front two today were exceptional, to be honest. It's a good back four. And I thought they caused them problems all night long. You know, and that's what I want. Tough decisions of getting up. Who I bring into the squad and who I pick. So, and you know, that might change week on week depending on what I feel that will hurt the opposition. And hopefully, I get it right more than I get it wrong. And I will get things wrong, but I'll also get things right. And it's great that the guys are buying into that and being part of that. And hopefully, we can be where we want to be.
Yeah. And Saturday, straight back here at Nethermoor. A tough test, isn't it, Torquay United? They're not after the greatest starts themselves. They'll be looking to put that right.
You know as well as I do, and anybody that comes and watches this level of football, any game that you play at this level is a tough, tough game. And you have to be right, and you have to be on your game to stand a chance of getting results, or getting points, in fact. So Saturday be no different against the, you know, they'll be a good side. I know that, and we have to do things right and be on our game.
So a creditable point at home against a promotion contender puts a little bit of positive feeling back around Nethermoor after such a thumping at the hands of Aldershot. The Lions will line up next against Torquay United on Saturday, 19th of August. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff at Nethermoor. Geisley Vixens have played a number of pre-season games as they shape up for the new season. In one of their latest, they played host to City rivals Leeds United Ladies. The Vixens dominated the game and emerged 6-1 victors. It was the first time the two sides had met since the rebranding of Leeds Ladies back to Leeds United Ladies, in what's seen as a good move by the new Leeds chairman, Andrea Radrizzani. Geisley were very happy with the solidity of their performance as they start to edge closer to the start of the season in the FA Women's Premier League. Debs Hastings set down a marker for the new season by scoring 4, and the other Vixen strikes came from Jess Heald and Emily Scott. Ariane Parnham, the solitary scorer for Leeds United. Up next for the Vixens was Super League opposition Durham Women at New Ferens Park in what will be another gruelling test for Geisley as they look to step up their pre-season preparations. Their first game in the FA Women's Premier League is against Nottingham Forest, which is an away match on the 20th, and their first match back at Nethermoor is on the 27th, a home tie with Huddersfield Town. Geisley's Academy will play in Division J of the National League Under-19 Alliance in the upcoming season, and they'll kick off their programme with a home game against FC United of Manchester on September the 13th. Other teams in this division include Darlington, Halifax, Farsley, Gateshead, Harrogate Town, Maltby Main, Rochdale and South Shields. A number of the games will be played on 3G pitches, including Harrogate, Maltby, Sheffield Hallam, FC Halifax, Rothwell Juniors and United of Manchester. New opponents Rochdale play at Hopwood Hall College, while Darlington play at Eastbourne Sports Complex. As expected, when the Academy sent two teams up to Sunderland on Saturday, two tough games played at the Academy of Light there. Despite two defeats, the Young Lions did the club proud, the under-18s losing just 2-1. Playing Sunderland under-16s, a Geisley team of mainly under-17s with a couple of under-16s thrown in, also lost 2-1. The first Academy fixture is on September the 13th, where they'll come up against FC United of Manchester. If you've got some time to spare and you'd like to assist in the operation of the club on match day, we're currently looking for the following voluntary positions. Guard of Honour and mascot leaders, to ensure the young visitors visiting as a Guard of Honour or mascot are in the correct places at all times. You'd be needed between 2 and 3 on a Saturday match day only. We also require car park assistance to assure the smooth running of the Ings Crescent car park between 12:30 and 2:30 on a match day Saturday and 5:45 and 7:45 on a Tuesday evening match. We also always require programme sellers to sell our match day programme and team sheets. You'd be needed between 1:30 and 3:00 on a Saturday and 6:30 and 7:45 for an evening match. You just need to be friendly, outgoing, able to work on your own initiative, age 16 and over. There isn't an upper age limit, and we'll give you all the relevant training and support. If you'd like more details, please contact Trudy. That's T-R-U-D-I dot Hannaford, H-A-N-N-A-F-O-R-D, at Geisley, that's G-U-I-S-E-L-E-Y-A-F-C.co.uk. Or for more information, head to our website, geisleyafc.co.uk. And that'll do it for another Lions Roar podcast. We'll be back next week with highlights from this weekend's match against Torquay United. That's on Saturday the 19th of August. That's a 3:00 kickoff, and Geisley Radio will be providing you with coverage from about 2:30, 2:45 at mixlr.com/Geisley Radio. Don't forget, you can tweet us at any time at Geisley Radio, or for more information, go to the official club website, geisleyafc.co.uk. Thanks very much for downloading, and we'll see you next week.